This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
G'day, g'day.
How are we?
Hello.
People outside, summer for you seems like summer for me. Well,
it's always summer at your house.
Exactly. 11th and 12th of June. Can you believe it? We're in June already.
I know. Oh my God.
It's halfway through, isn't it?
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun. And we're back with Coast to Coast. Beachy and Verilicious. What are we talk about today, Beachy? I think we were going to continue on from our last one.
We had last a chat, hiatus.
Which yeah. finally, which finally made an appearance after a month.
We had some,
so that's great.
Some technical difficulties, but we're all back
now. That's right. Truthmeets.com is back. Thanks, Felicit, for all that. And he's been working hard in the background for us and to get all our shows up and running, which is fantastic.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
He's got his new place and he's all settled and had enough time to put up the studio again for us.
Yeah. We appreciate it. Us, the rowdy crowd.
Yep. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Felicit.
Yeah. So what are we starting today with, Beachy? I think you were thinking about the navel, maybe.
Yes, we're continuing on.
Good old belly bun.
With the last from our last show that just got posted. So hopefully folks have found that the first part, and we're continuing on. Just interesting tidbits on our bodies and how some of the things we've not been privy to with mainstream health. And yes, the navel. This is something very interesting I came across. And I've never been told about this. It's fascinating, but I had seen it prior where they say, you know, people put different oils in and around the belly button. Now, our belly button, you know, it's basically, it's when you think about it, the first part created after conception is the navel. And it's actually what joins the mother's placenta through the umbilical cord. So it's a very key creation, you know, as you're being grown and developed in your mother's belly, and you connect to her, all her blood and nutrition. So it's a pretty amazing. I mean, birth is a very amazing process, and I am always amazed, you know, when you hear about just some couple of cells come together and boom, 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 all of a sudden you have a brand new baby. It's just life creation is fascinating.
It's a miracle. Anyway, it's a miracle.
It's totally
the miracle,
a miracle
of creation.
Yes. And I don't think we give it incredulity. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing to have two people come together and create another human. It's magic. Anyway, so the navel, again, it's surely an amazing thing. All our veins are connected to our navel, which is, you know, again, it's the focal point because that's where everything starts. And it's called, this term, the pituitary is behind the navel, which has more than 72,000 veins. The total amount of blood vessels we have in our body is equal to double the circumference of the earth. That's a lot of,
That's a lot of veins.
Yes. So anyway, so we knew that to lower the temperature of the babies, remember when, when we were little, if you had a fever, they would put a cotton swab with alcohol in the navel. And then later on, they put oil in it. And this was to bring down the fever. As you grow, applying oil in the navel heals other things, like different oils, like you could heal the dryness of your eyes, the pancreas, the heels, chapped lips, keep your face bright, your hair healthier, knee pain, the chills, lethargy, pain in the joints, and dry skin. So they're saying if you apply neem oil in your belly button, you can get rid of acne, skin issues. Almond oil in your belly button helps to achieve a glowing face. Mustard oil in your belly button to get rid of dry, chapped lips. And it will also keep your intestines moving to remove harmful bacteria. Kind of like a detox, basically. Who knew? Mustard oil. I didn't know there was such a thing, right? Okay, and then there's olive oil or coconut oil is to improve your fertility. Again, an alcohol dipped in cotton on your belly button will cure cold, flu, and a runny nose. Just like when a baby has stomach pain, they used to tell us to put a few drops of alcohol in the navel and give a little massage a few minutes and the pain is cured. Oil works in the same way if you different oils again. And then there's a brandy-soaked cotton ball on your belly button will ease your menstrual pain and cramps. Sesame oil is used for joint pains, and it can also strengthen your bones. An equal amount of mustard oil and ginger oil for upset stomach, bloating, nausea, and digestive problems. Let's see what else. We got warm ghee, which is butter, improves blood flow to the nervous system and enhances the immunity. It cures constipation and builds a strong digestive system. Also gives relief from joint pain. Thyme oil is antispasmodic. It helps relax your arteries and veins, lowering blood pressure and stress to your heart. It may also help strengthen and tone your heart muscles. So, thyme oil, who knew? Okay, and also as a diuretic, thyme oil may help your body to remove excess water, salt, and toxins from your body, helping with weight, blood pressure, digestion, and more. Thyme oil is an expectorant, which means it can help remove mucus from your airways and lungs. Thyme oil is approved by Germany's Commission E in the treatment of bronchitis, whooping cough, and upper respiratory inflammation. Now,
so thyme that's all oil, really neat.
I know, right? I mean, that's crazy. Thyme oil is a powerful compound and should not be used directly on your skin, as this can cause sensitization and irritation. So you have to dilute it with the carrier oil, like olive oil. I believe that's kind of what they do is, I'm not positive on this, but because, I've this is something that I was hearing the other day about is like CBD oil, which is, cannabis, marijuana. And I'm curious about that because, in the States, or at least in California, it's legal to grow your own marijuana. And I would like to grow some oil.
Are you talking about oil to put on your skin? to ingest, right? Yeah.
No,
okay.
Not
well,
to,
I have.
Yeah,
I have the hemp one, the hemp oil, and it's got quite a strong. It's quite a thick oil, actually, that comes from the hemp, from the it's from the hemp seed.
And so it's actually
it's very good.
So it's actually from the
it's cold press.
Is hemp and cannabis the same thing?
I believe. Yeah, I believe so. I think there's just different genus like variations of like, you know, it's like aloe where we're like everybody's familiar with aloe vera and all that kind of stuff. So I think they're just different genus of the different plants. So
well, when you say it's oil now, is that because it's mixed with an oil like the plant?
No. No, so this is pressed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this one's pressed from the actual seeds itself. Let me see. Cuz I have different ones. I have neem oil. So the hemp seed oil, it's pressed from the seed itself. This is a certified organic product. It is cold pressed, which is fantastic. It's quite, now what does it say here? See if I can read with
how
my,
do you cold press. What is the process of cold press? Do you know?
I have no idea. But there's different ways of extracting oils from actual seeds and plants themselves. So the, this one that I have, it's an Australian company which does it. They're a certified organic. So certified organic, you need to have like your land free of any chemicals and all sorts of stuff, pesticides and all that for about 5 years. Yeah.
I would like to grow it so I can make my own,
and
know, just so you can be sure.
Yeah. And this one here with the hemp seed one. So it's really good for your skin because it's similar to the way the jojoba oil works. So it mimics like your skin, you know, your actual skin. So it gets absorbed real quickly. It's a fatty acid as well, which is the omega-3 and omega-6, which is fantastic if you have any dry skin or any problems with that. This one I use as a carrier oil for where I put my essential oils with it as well. So I can mix it with that. But sometimes I just put this on straight up as it is because there's no nasties in it. And the same with my, what's the other one? The almond seed? Sweet almond I have. Like I've got some different oils which I just, you can just put directly onto your skin because they are a carrier. They're carrier oil.
But yeah, your skin it absorbs and, you know, it's like ingesting. So you have to make sure it's, not toxic in that way. Cause some of the, like I said, you know, that's why I was saying I would like to make it myself so that you know, cause they always put all these additives and things and you never know for sure
so,
what you're getting.
All right, so this has given me the other. Sorry, I'm trying to read. My eyesight is, as you know, as we all know, is still like shoddy, but it's all coming back. This is cannabis stevia, S-T-E-I-V-A.
Hmm.
So, like, that's what I'm saying. They're different parts, like different, obviously. Different types of cannabis plants that they use.
Right.
Yeah. So this one in particular is that one. Is the cannabis.
Said I'd like to find some, you know, either a plant or some seeds to grow it myself so that I can, have that. Because I have, at one point I did this one gentleman, this was years ago. I was at a dog training session. And there was this guy that I don't even know how we got to talking, but anyway, he gave me some cannabis leaf, and he said, you know, to make a salve or some oil to you know, spread on your skin to if you had joint pain or some kind of a affliction, I don't know, like wound or whatever, but, and you would, sore muscles, you would, just take the plant and put it in some kind of oil and kind of cook it up for a little bit, and then, keep it in a jar and just, you know, rub it on your ailment wherever you were hurting, and it would, relieve the pain. And at that point, I took it home. He gave me like a little cup of it, and it was just basically leaves. There was no stems or anything. It was just kind of what they call shake. And I had it up in the cupboard for probably a couple years, and I didn't touch it because I didn't know what to, you know, I was not sure what to do with it. But anyway, so I started having this pain in my elbow because, like, when I would walk my dog, and I had walked him with a one of those, not a regular leash, but like the, what do you call it? The kind that it's like in a roll, and it releases a retractable. There you go. And so, yeah. So, and my dog wasn't a big, puller or anything, but when he, you know, saw something that he wanted to run after, you could, like, you know, hold on to him so that he couldn't, you know, get that far. Right. So I had like this pain in my elbow, I think because I was like, you know, yanking him back. And anyway, long story short, I had this, you know, pain in my elbow, and I just thought, oh, you know, I remembered that guy talking about that. So I pulled it down off the cupboard and put some oil. I can't remember what kind of oil, maybe some olive oil. I just threw in there and put it in a pan and heated it up. And rubbed it on, you know, after obviously it cooled down, and then I rubbed it on my elbow, and it took care of it. It, the pain went away, and it never came back again. It was like, yeah. So bizarre. So
it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I hear you can do that with when I think about it. Sorry, my memory's so bad. There's so many other ones that you can use. Like, I have so many different oils to use. And like, I was laughing when you were saying about putting the one in your navel for beautification. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to listen back to this and go and search all the oils that I actually have. And then I'll make a list of how to, of the ones that you've just said. And then I'll just trial it out and see how it goes to see if any changes happen.
Yeah, here's some more. Okay, so now this one says to put 3 drops of castor oil in your navel, spread it 1.5 inches around your belly at night before bed, and that's for knee pain, which seems kind of strange, but anyway, I had also saw something about castor oil being good for digestion and bloating or, you know, gut issues, basically. So
yeah, castor oil is pretty harsh.
It's not
something I want to ingest, actually.
Right. No, you don't want to eat it, but that's what, like I said, it's still going into your belly. It probably is being absorbed in some fashion, but I don't think you want to do that, like,
We'll find out. Night.
Yeah, after the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Truthmeets.com, you're on Coast to Coast with Beachy and Berylicious. And Beachy's just talking about navel. Apparently, you can put certain things in your navel and it will do certain things.
Right. Good so things. Here's the last thing about that is why put oil in and around your belly button? Your navel can detect which veins have dried up. And by putting oil, those nerves open up and then you will, because all those nerves will send communication probably to wherever it needs some, attention or, you know, you have issues because, you know, our whole body is basically a communication network. And just like we were talking about last week about the breathing, and I also was hearing about water and hydration. And when you breathe, all your water is being flushed into the different areas of your body. So it's kind of like, just like movement, you have to move, you have your water in your body shouldn't be stagnant, just like any pond or, you want to keep that water moving around and hydrating all those organs. So any movement and, of course, the breathing instigates that movement as it's like a pump, basically, just movement, flow. I guess that's what they call it, is flow. So it's very important because, again, as the water, we think hydration is only about drinking water, but really, because our bodies are so mostly water, you just want to keep that moving. It's like flow. I remember someone saying flow is very important, and it didn't make sense to me at the time, but now I understand flow, right?
Yeah, very that's basic. Good. Well, that's the thing, though. It's like, because we never think about things about our body. I mean, maybe I've heard stuff about the belly button, maybe not, or it's things that, like, it's the old wives' tales, like mum used to say, you can put this here or put that there, and you don't really think about it, because my mum used to do a lot of stuff naturally. She used to give us cod liver oil, like, as a kid, take a tablespoon and bat, and then you put this on there, and she used to use, it was like when kids, sometimes, I don't know why, but where warts even come from, but she used to go, if you get a wart, rub a banana skin on it or the skin of the potato on it.
Yep.
And it would go away. So she was always good with all that natural stuff, and I think we've talked about this before, like as an adult, you sort of tend to forget because you're not, you're not practicing things anymore. Like you don't have the garden like you did when you were a kid running around growing up and being able to like pluck what you need and all that. And there's a lot of things that I've lost over time. Just basic things that I knew that if I just went and grabbed something to go and heal myself with, and then lately it's sort of coming back to me, certain things, but the whole thing with the essential oils is great. And just different oils from plants as you were just talking about. But I never really thought about the belly button. I kind of always think about more gut, like, cause I know that if you look after your gut cause leaky gut apparently is huge. Because we don't have the right, we were talking about the right nutrition and actually looking after our body. But apparently, like, your gut is also connected to your brain And that's the kind of things that I think about having the brain issues, you know, think, well, if I make sure that my gut is healed and I'm looking after my gut properly, then I'm not going to have any more like any head issues or brain issues. There have been studies about that. So it's very interesting how we're all interlinked with everything in our bodies, and like in the navel being so close to your gut as well. So, I mean, who knows? Like that's, we, our well, bodies like are just, they, it knows how to work. You know what I mean? Just, but so long as we're doing the right thing.
Like what we were talking about earlier about how amazing it is that your body is created in, you know, from a small, well, just like a plant, you know, you put a seed in the ground and it grows into food. Well, obviously, you know, it's the same concept. You know, you put a seed in some fertile ground, the belly, and like we were talking about, the all the nerves start at, you know, that from that point, that's where the belly button is. You know, what did I say? It had like all those nerves that go throughout your whole entire body. It's like central command, right? It's the brain basically of your body.
Yeah.
In terms of you know, operation and communication, and I mean, I always say in my show, if you've listened to my Remember Who You Are show, we are the technology. It's like all the technology is based on our operation of our body. It's like we're a computer with, you know, tentacles that go throughout our entire body that communicates and, you know, sends information to, you know, regenerate, heal, whatever it needs. And we don't even have to think about it. It just happens automatically. It's quite amazing. we are the technology. That's what I keep saying.
Yeah, well, that's it. And it's amazing though, because I mean, I was telling you before we got on, like I've just had this inflammation in my back, and it's been so painful. I don't know what I've done, if it's like some sort of repetitive stress or what's happened, you know, like did I sleep wrong or something, but it was just so painful. And I knew, it was like, if I don't go and get one of those deep tissue remedial massage, I'm just not going to last today. And one of those things, I got that done, and just the pressure that was put on it was so painful to start with. But then you can breathe through that, and now I feel great. Like there's no pain. There's no more pain. You know, it feels good. I feel tired. Like I've been doing a workout, but it's just amazing. Like how much pain we can withstand. But then once, you know, your body, if you know, just get through, if you can get through that bit with a little bit of help.
Right.
It does. It does work. You just got to try and find right.
You were breathing through it, and she was, or he, your massage therapist was facilitating that by putting the pressure. And so, as they put, because like I notice when I use a tuning fork, and if I have a pain and I get the tuning fork and I put it directly on the pain, and yeah, it hurts at the moment, but then you breathe and then it like dissipates it with the vibration of the tuning fork. So it's a facilitator to, you know, put a pressure point on that, oh, you know, whatever the issue is. And then, you know, you breathe. And then remember we just said, when you breathe, it distributes the water around. And of course, the vibration the vibration of the tuning fork, gives it another extra little ripple effect, I guess. And, it just redistributes all that, fluid or whatever's caused. Sometimes what they say when you have a pain, it's because there's a blockage. So there's the energy can't flow through. So it's just facilitating that movement to, unblock the blockage. So yeah, again,
yeah, it's and to just get yourself flowing, you know? Again. Yeah, it is. It's pretty good. Like I like all that. Just trying to do that all naturally. Cause like, even if I was just taking, I could take a couple of painkillers, it still didn't do anything. Like your body just goes, yeah, what's that? And then you end up flushing it out of your system anyway. And it's just amazing. Like just all the variations that we can do. Just to help ourselves, like just to help our bodies, and just this morning, even like with the sun, I obviously my sleep was disrupted, from that pain. And then I was like, well, if I just stand out on the balcony when the sun rises, which happened to be perfect timing because the dog needed to go out to the toilet. I was able to do the sunrise because it really helps eyes as well. The different with light, it's just really nice, like really beautiful as well. And the morning, like it's just perfect conditions for just just like you say, just breathing and then just trying to rein out, get out that thing. But it's, for me, it was like it was painful, but for a few seconds. I didn't have any pain. So, obviously I needed a little more than just the sunrise and all that. So, but I'm okay. It's fine. I've gotten over this bit until the next time round. Right. Yeah. But I just feel like we're being bombarded so much these days as well.
You just got to keep on top of it, yeah, and make sure we're, identifying when we're getting stuck or, we need to stop and, take some precautions or preventions and, just readjust because there are lots of, different frequencies that are coming at us, I think, through our electronics and all the other stuff. And we talked about the sun and the Schumann resonance and the sun's flares or whatever that they keep saying we're having a lot of sun activity. So, all of this is energy that's being blasted towards us, and it makes... It seems plausible that we just have to somehow, protect ourselves or make sure we're aware, at least when we're feeling out of sorts, that we can readjust. And we do, like I said, we have the technology, we have the power to alleviate ourselves of some of these ailments, which is, fabulous. I think the more we focus on these things and pay attention to them, we can keep ourselves in check, so to speak. So, is my connection coming through? You were rubber banding a little bit, but how am I coming through?
Yeah, you're good. I don't know, with me, I'm sort of fluctuating a little bit, but we should be okay.
Okay.
Talking about what you were saying about the Schumann.
Yeah, go ahead and talk. I need to step away for a minute. I'll be right back, but go ahead and...
Yeah, well, you were saying about the Schumann resonance and all sorts of things that are happening at the moment. Well, what we've started noticing here, and it's come up on mainstream news, is some activity in the sky. And it's not just... whether it's planes and stuff like that. Apparently there's rockets in the sky now. and they're calling this latest one, well, someone called it, I've never heard of it before until recently, they called it a space jellyfish. And I was like, what's a space jellyfish? Is it different from a cosmic jellyfish? And apparently they are two different things. So what we're seeing currently in the sky and what's going to happen more and more is the space jellyfish. Apparently, according to the latest news in regards to what mainstream media are putting out, it's a race. Here we are. So space jellyfish, they're only out at certain times of the day, and they're rockets that are being fired into the sky. Let me have a look at what it says here in regards to it. And it's mainly for us, it's mainly from China. So it's like a race for space in regards to these rocket ships. And why we're seeing what's called the space jellyfish is the fact that the rocket exhaust, when it plumes over the Earth's atmosphere, it can catch the different light. And that's what we're seeing. And sometimes what we're seeing, it looks like a jellyfish with tentacles and all that kind of stuff. And what they're saying, the scale is a few millimeters or a few kilometers in the areas around. So when they fired one, what day was it here in Australia? Let me have a look at the latest one. It was so bizarre, okay, and I was hoping to be able to see it. Are you all right?
Oh, yeah. It was just dog interruption.
Oh, yeah. Doggy. Where do we have it? Yeah, so June 4th, funny, June 4th, it was the Philippines in that area. So the Philippines Space Agency, was it they reported seeing the Chinese Long March 6-4 rocket in the sky. And then going back in time, so May the 12th was another one, and that was the same rocket. And then April, 11th of April, was China and the Pacific, where they did another rocket. It was called Space Launch Smart Dragon 3 rocket. Mm-hmm. So what they're saying is because we're seeing these rockets in the sky, and depending on like the trajectory and the time of day, usually if it's sunrise or sunset, depending on where you are, it catches the light, and then that's gives that jellyfish effect from the plumes. So I have yet to see it because the time that they launched it, we were covered in cloud here and it was supposed to be raining. And I was like, of course. So I was trying to see if anybody else around here on the coast had picked it up, but I haven't seen any photography on it yet. But you would need like a special lens anyway to capture some of them. If not, it just looks like some blob in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they said, look, it is visible to the naked eye, but it's better. You'll see it better during twilight, they said, with that one. So that's interesting that there's a lot of it going around. And I thought, well, what's the difference between the space jellyfish and the cosmic jellyfish? Well, the cosmic jellyfish is an actual galaxy deep in space. So it's a galaxy.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then that's only visible through like the Hubble telescope and all that kind of stuff. So you need like a powerful telescope to be able to see that.
Where,
yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. But they love these different things. They make it like sound super exciting. That makes you want to go and like see what's happening in the sky. But I'm finding it interesting because here in Queensland, you'll find out in a minute.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Truthmeets.com. We're going to find out about like these space jellyfish, right? It's so funny. I'm just trying to have a look. And it's mainly all the reports have been like they're Chinese rocket ships. But here in Queensland, I think there is a place not far from where the army base is where they actually develop and make rockets. Because I have seen like some weird, you know, I call them the UFOs. They don't actually look like an aeroplane or anything like that. And they've like, there's some things spinning around and you're like, what is that? And then you're looking, it's like, oh, someone's like gone and designed some type of rocket and they're just playing around with it and playing with people's minds and, you know, creating a frenzy of people going, oh, look, there's UFOs in the sky.
A lot of the things we see are not necessarily UFOs or whatever you define as a UFO, like are you thinking space aliens or something coming from another planet? Who knows? But yeah, a lot of the stuff that we probably see are things that we've thrown up there, satellites and or, you know, whatever, space junk that's been flying. I mean, we've had the, space station up there for how many years? And they keep saying that it's going to be discontinued, that it's done. And I think I saw a story not too long ago that they were saying they had to evacuate it because, you know, I don't know, for some reason or another. I kind of tend not to pay attention to that stuff. But anyway, that's...
I do get like that. But I think what it is with everything that's happening at the moment, when you think about, oh, they want to release the things about the aliens and... now there's the spaceship things happening. Now there's rockets. You know, there's so much going on and you can't even keep up with what's happening, you know. And I don't know if they're just a distraction to something else, you know, because like every moment you see it's, oh, these astronauts went up and it's like, well, they didn't get very far, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that was, in that space, what was it, the jellyfish thing that you posted in, and they talked about Artemis, which is like, that was months ago. I think everybody forgot about that.
It was like a non-story.
They went to the moon, a big deal. I thought we already went to the moon. Oh, well, anyway.
Yeah. Well, did we really go to the moon? And, you know, now there's movies out saying that it was a production and, you know, there's all sorts of stuff. So who knows? Like, to be honest with you, I find things entertaining sometimes just listening to it. And, you know, there's a lot of fascinating things. I love watching the sky and I love watching the clouds and like seeing what happens at sunset and sunrise and all that kind of things. And it is amazing. Like it is really beautiful out there. And the two, planets that we can visibly see at the moment is actually Venus and Jupiter. So that's very interesting that they're very close as well. And normally you can't really see them. So it really depends on the cycle, I think, and when you can see them. So yeah. Right. But Venus, she's a little bit closer now. I see her. See that star, like it's a massive star. That's a pretty big star. It's got to be like a planet for sure. Yeah. So I had to look that one up And normally we don't see Jupiter because normally we would see, I think Mars is one of the ones we would normally see as well because Mars is so close, but I think it really depends. But the moon.
The one thing that I've noticed up in the sky, because I used to go out and I used to take my daughter out, you know, and watch the sky a lot, and it always seemed to be in the same place, like the same stars were up there. I could easily identify them, and it was, you know, pretty normal, whatever. And until about a few years ago, like maybe not, probably like maybe a couple years ago, it seemed like my starscape moved. Like the stars that I used to go out and see are not the same ones. It's like we repositioned. And that to me was interesting because, I don't know what happened. It's like nobody talked about that. No, I couldn't find any information about it. It's just weird that, it's just different. The starscape is different when I look up. They're all positioned in a different, it's like everything moved like a quarter, you know, like say if you're looking at like the sky as a clock, like it all moved, you know, 15 minutes around or something like that.
Yeah, but I wonder if it changes along with the season as well, because we notice with the sun, when it's sun during summer,
yeah, the sun moves.
The sun moves, right? So it moves further south for us when it's into summer, because I know like certain points where the sun rises, it could be at the south end of where we are instead of the northern end of where we are, right? So right now the sun is moving further north for winter because I can see the sunrise coming up. Obviously it comes up from the east, but it's directly now where our balcony is, which is the one facing north. So I'm like, okay, so the sun is moving north now. So I wonder if the same sort of thing's happening with, stars, like, do they change positions?
Many
of them out there.
It was in the same position for quite a few years. And then all of a sudden it's like different. I totally know. Cause like I would walk out my back door and I would look up and I would see certain star, like I would see the Big Dipper. And now when I walk out, I don't see the Big Dipper. The Big Dipper is moved all the way to the front of the house. You know, it's like when I go out the front door, now it's out there. So that's what I mean. You know, it's just interesting. Like I said, if I was going out every night and taking notes, you know, I mean, and some people do that. They, you know, make a note or they, you know,
map
it. Yeah. And, I've never, noticed such changes like that. So, like I said, you need to be very, vigilant on that sort of thing to be out there every day and checking it out. So it's interesting. It's a very, you know, you can track things that way, and I'm sure that's what people did back in the day when they were, you know, they had no TV or lights or, you know, things to do in the nighttime but watch what was happening in the sky.
But I think even with like the sun, the moon, the stars, everything's especially if it comes to, I think Rick Esoteric was talking about, you know, planting during the moon cycle and all that kind of stuff. I think a lot of agriculture was using those type of cycles and trying to track that so that they knew what to plant, when to plant, when to harvest and all that kind of stuff. And I think there's a big thing when it comes to using the moon and the stars and the sun and all that. Because my dad used to tell me about my grandfather, who was a fisherman, and he used to be like the stars. Like, he was really good with the tracking the stars and knowing when to go fishing the next day and all that kind of stuff. And they'd navigate, you know, using those luminaries and all that kind of stuff. So it's obviously there for a reason. And it's obviously, you know, being used.
It's affecting,
today. So it
is affecting our environment. Yes. Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. When you follow all that stuff, I mean, just like the energies, there's energies that are, again, it's back to our, kind of like our bodies again, like I was saying, you know, we have communications that are being sent out through the water. And I would imagine that the planetary, because, you know, they say everything is connected, right? So how are we connected? Is there some, like, you know, invisible lines in the sky, and that would be the, you know, the, what do they call them? The ley lines, or the, you know, star forts that, you know, they're like nodes. It's like a giant computer system. Again, just like in our bodies, we have nodes that connect everything together. That would be our, you know, like we talked about the veins and the organs, and everything is connected by these little lines of communication. So you have, in the wider sense of the universe, there's probably those lines are out there communicating with what's happening down here on the planet.
Yes. But there's one thing I want to ask you, Beachy, because you were good about talking about the maritime things and then also the words that we use. Right. So naval, isn't that a term that's used? Right.
Wow. That's
so why
great.
Are we calling awesome. Our belly buttons naval? Like,
yes.
Did you?
The Navy is like command central, right? Well, they are in charge of the waters, right? That I would say that's a huge connection. That's very good.
Yeah. Awesome.
I never connected that, but you're absolutely right.
But it's why were you using those words? Like, it's weird. I find it's quite a weird thing. But then we had a chat. I remember you were talking about birth. You know, B-E-R-T-H, as in when you birth the ships, right. And then there was giving birth. You know, so like what. What's the connection with all this? Why?
Well,
it comes back to
that goes back, you know, that's going to be a whole nother episode, because that is maritime law. That is admiralty law, which is, again, connected to our rulers who use all these, laws and, things to keep control of us. I mean, in certain respects, it is like a giant command center where they send out all these laws and whatever that, you know, they call them statutes. They call them, acts. They call them, I mean, all these terms they have for laws, basically, on how you're going to behave because we said so. And in a sense, it is kind of like a command center. They're sending out all these commands that you need to follow. And technically, do we really have to follow them, or are we just under some kind of a spell? Again, like I said, that's a whole other episode we need to talk about. And I have not done that episode, but I have touched upon it, yes, in my chats.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I just found that interesting.
Let me turn us back to our original topic. I have one more that a thing to discuss here about our human bodies, which might connect in that what you just brought up. That was a good segue. So here's something very interesting. The human body has an organ that was classified in 1953, and they declassified it. They told us that we have 79 organs. That's what the medical school teaches. That's what every anatomy textbook prints. That's what every doctor has been educated to believe. But in actuality, we have 80. The 80th organ was identified in 1953 by a military research team at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Again, we're talking about the military. We were just talking about the Naval Center, but this was, what did I say, at the Army. This was in the Army. It was documented, photographed, biopsied. Its function was mapped over a 7-year study involving 4,000 soldiers. And then it was classified, removed from every medical textbook, erased from every anatomy curriculum, and every researcher involved was transferred to classified programs. So in other words, they just censored. So for 73 years, doctors have been operating on human bodies without knowing that an entire organ exists. An organ they've seen, they've touched, they've cut through during surgeries and dismissed as connective tissue or fatty deposits because their training told them it was nothing. This organ is located in the solar plexus region between the stomach and the spine. Approximately 4 centimeters in diameter, it appears on imaging as a dense cluster that radiologists have been trained to ignore, categorized in medical literature as benign peritoneal inclusion, requiring no further investigation. But it's not benign. It is not an inclusion. It is a functioning organ with a dedicated blood supply, neural connections to the brainstem, and according to the declassified documents, a unique electromagnetic output that no other organ in the body produces. The military study called it the Nexus Body. Its function, translation of electromagnetic environmental frequencies into neurochemical signals. In plain language, it's the organ that connects your biology to the energy field around you. Intuition, gut feeling, the sensation of being watched, the knowledge of something is wrong before evidence confirms it. Every human experience that science dismissed as psychological is actually physiological, generated by an organ that they never told you about. So why would they want to censor this? Well, this organ that connects human consciousness to external energy fields is an organ that can be stimulated, enhanced, activated. A population with a fully functioning nexus body would sense deception instinctively. So, in other words, we would be more like, you know, animals who know, they sense when danger is around them. They know how to, when a predator is in their midst, right? They would feel, they would sense deception instinctively. They would feel manipulation before it took hold. They would feel it in their body. They would know, not in their mind, when they were being lied to. You can't control a population that can physically feel when it's being suppressed or controlled. So they design pharmaceuticals that calcify it. The same way that fluoride calcifies the pineal gland, they created food additives that inflame the surrounding tissue, reducing the blood flow. They introduced electromagnetic frequencies that jam its output signal. So they didn't just hide the organ from your knowledge, they disabled it in your body. So they have recently declassified this by Executive Order 14119 after the break.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Very interesting on Coast to Coast. Beachy, keep going. What is this? What is this organ that we have? How do we unblock it?
Okay, so again, this executive order by our current administration, which everybody hates and is always trying to shoot down. And of course, you would never hear this on the mainstream media because they're part of the deep state and they're not... they don't want this stuff to get out, right? But anyway, this executive order mandates that all the medical schools update their curriculum within 180 days. However, like we just said, there's food additives. So, and that is something that RFK, our health person, is also working on getting out of these particular food additives. There's all these chemicals and, you know, concoctions that have been found in our foods that most European countries, probably even you down there in Australia, don't allow. And for some reason, they've, you know, ran rampant in our stuff here. But anyway, this particular executive order is trying to mandate that all the medical schools update their curriculum and to research more about this this organ, and it has classified the suppression of it as a crime against human biological sovereignty. So this organ, it's been calcified again, jammed. It's not dead, but, you know, obviously every human body on Earth has one, and the rehabilitation protocols are already being developed. Frequency therapy, dietary changes, removal of the specific compounds that suppress its function, and technically it says within 6 months of proper treatment that it can be reactivated. And that way people can feel truth in their body the way they feel hunger or pain. Lies do not survive. No propaganda holds. No manipulation works. So, yeah, you were born with a lie detector inside your body. So this is something that probably they've already been working on. Because like I said, RFK's been working on a lot of all these, toxic things that have been put in our foods. And they've been working on it. You know, and again, nobody really reports on this. it's crazy how all these things are happening. Really good things are happening here in America. And most people don't hear about it because they're not putting it on the mainstream media. We also have
they don't
Dr.
want you to
Oz.
Know about it.
Right. Dr.
Well.
Oz is another one. He's he's bringing out a lot of stuff about cancer and, you know, all the things that we've talked about, or at least we've known here in our truther circles here.
Community.
Yes, where, you know, and the, you know, they're trying to bring all this stuff into the mainstream. There was also some legislation written to stop all the mutilation of the children, you know, underage children who they're brainwashing to give them puberty blockers and, you know, all that trans stuff, you know, which is like, I think it's, you know, if you're an underage child, you should be, they should, I can't believe that they are authorizing these children to be preyed upon, basically. I mean, in my opinion, if you're educating these children on sexual preferences already in a young age, I would call that, I don't know about you, but I would call it pedophilic. Right?
Well, the thing is, I mean, my brother was saying that that's what they teach the kids at school these days. It's just all about that. It's just, you know, what you should be, whether you're a boy or a girl, and that they're not really teaching them anything of any knowledgeable, you know, things that they can retain or use in their life, aside from the fact that, you know, you can be a girl if you're a boy, and you can be, you know, a boy if you're a girl. Oh, it's just that kind of stuff. And he goes, it's really, really bad. Like, they're not, he goes, what happened to education? Like, teaching them things that they could actually really use in their life, you know?
I can't think of the word, but basically, okay, these children, they don't need to know about sex, or that is like, you know, they're preparing them for someone to molest them, you know, because why would they need to know about it, right? Unless they were, you know, they're getting them familiar with it, to get comfortable with it, to be accepting of it. And then, you know, some, you know, terrible older person who has, you know, their access is able to more easily get into, you know, that situation with them. And to me, like I said, that's predatory. That's, you know, teaching them before they even have consensual, they don't know any better, right? It's predator. It's like a, it is pedophilic. I mean, pedophilia is against the law, and they are, you know, right in broad daylight performing predatory, you know, getting them ready for it, basically, you know?
Grooming.
That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. They're grooming them.
Yeah. So, you know, but in saying that, like, this organ that they have basically ignored and said that we don't need, obviously we need it. Are they even, you know, starting to disable that from, like, birth? You know what I mean? Because if they had known about it, then they wouldn't want it. They would want to just say it's like, your wisdom tooth, you don't need your wisdom teeth anymore, or you don't need your appendix anymore, and stuff like that. It's one of those ones, you know, where they go, it's useless, you don't need it. But it's like, we were created and designed with all these things, so obviously there's a function for it. So you can't just say that we don't need it. You know, evolution says that we needed them back then, but we don't need them now. But who says? Right. I mean, what's evolution got to say about that? I mean, it's like nobody's any better. I mean, for me, if we were evolving into anything, it should be a smarter, you know, a better type of person. But instead, we're becoming more zombified. You know, we're going the absolute opposite. I mean, just
think about it. If you're, you know, and as a parent, when you have a baby, you're in the hospital and they're telling you they got to shoot you your baby, your brand new baby just came out of the womb. They got to shoot him with this, that, and the other thing, you know, all these vaccines. And, oh, by the way, your little boy is going to get, you know, sliced because, you know, he needs a, he doesn't need that foreskin, you know, I mean, it's like, how is it that we can be so easily, you know, oh, these white coats just tell us, yeah, this needs to be done and we're okay. I mean, how, who in their right mind allows your baby to be sliced two days after they're born? I mean, how do we accept that?
Yeah, that to it's me really shows, bizarre.
Yeah, that we're not on top of it. I mean, basic intuition should tell you, you don't want to mutilate your child. And again, yeah. With the kids in grade school who they're bringing in these, you know, people who are telling them about, you know, sexual practices and reading them stories about, you know, how they should change their sex. And it's like, okay, kids, they don't need that at that age. They're not even thinking about that. Mm. They don't know about that. And that to me, like you said, that is a form of pedophilia because they're molesting children. It's like, why can't people see that? Why are we so okay with that?
Yeah. Why do people hate people? Like, what's with the human race? You know what I mean? It's like, what's going on here? It's very weird. There's a lot of like weird things that seem very evil around. You know, it just doesn't seem right at all. And I mean, we talk about, you know, being connected to the earth and to, you know, we have a spirituality, we have all these things that's built in us. I mean, you did say that we are like a computer in so many ways, but we're just more than that, you know. We're miracle machines. We can heal, our bodies can heal, we can do so many things. But who are these people that want to destroy other people? I don't get that. I really don't. Well, it's like, are you not like the same? Do you not bleed like we bleed? Are you like trying to tell us you're something else? Like, you know,
this is another whole nother episode to talk about. You know, we were just talking about aliens like coming from outer space. I think we have aliens here on our planet who are not us, or they're not like us, because obviously who wants to do this to, like you said, to little children, who wants to, you know, set them up. So, I mean, again, there are certain religions who, like in the Middle East, you know, we were learning about all, because we've kind of been invaded by Muslim, Islamic, you know, sects or religious types that believe that it's okay to do these things. So, you know, like you said, there's a whole other episode about this sort of thing is out there. It's there. And they're trying to bring it into our realms here. And, you know, people are defending them like, oh, we have to be tolerant and we have to allow, you know, but if your religion is to predate on children to have sex with them, I know.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't actually think that comes from God. It's not an original thing from our Father, Heavenly Father. So, you know, look, I'm not going to say what you need to believe in. You know, we're not saying whatever you want to believe in, it's up to you and how you see things. But the perception and the things that we actually see ourselves is that there's some really nasty things out there. And we are aware of it. And people, you know, people have a conscience. People feel things, and you know, you can be sympathetic to things, you can have empathy to what's going around, and you know, it's not good, you know, it's not good. And yeah, they're just the predatory behavior, like, where does it even come from? Where did this even start? You know, there's so many things that people will sort of question, and then other people just want to put their head in the sand and just go, look, I just want to live my life. Just leave me alone. Well, I just want to be able to get on with my life. And then, you know, when my time's up, my time's up, which is fair enough as well. I mean, nobody's saying you have to engage in anything at all. I mean, it's just, you know, they're just conversations that people have. I mean, we see, you know, the unruly behavior, just in our own neighborhood, you know, it's just crazy. You know, teenagers running rampant, causing chaos. There's been deaths, you know, on roads and stuff like that, just from these e-bike behavior, these scooters and all sorts of stuff. And it just, I just feel like there's a lot of worse things going on out there. I feel sometimes in Australia we're relatively far away from a lot of the things that are happening. And then we only see, you know, things overseas or whatever it is, only through mainstream news or whatever it is that's the majority that we see. But we get affected by the little things here, you know, and a lot of it is just crime. A lot of it is just crime here. And it's not just crime from adults, they're crime from children, you know, and it's quite confronting, because it brings up more questions. And then, you know, it's like, well, what are the governments going to do? Or what's this going to do? What can we do? You know, you can't be a vigilante, because then at the end of the day, you become the criminal if you become a vigilante, and all sorts of stuff. It's just crazy. I just feel like the world is spinning around on its head half the time, you know. And then the sickness, oh my goodness, it's just like one thing after another. And if you're not sick, you know, something happens like out of the blue and you're like, where did that come about? So there's so many things going on, Beachy. Like, you just, sometimes it's just easier just to hit the off button and just go, you know what? Yes. just going to turn it off, and like I'm just going to sit and not worry about that for a long time.
this organ, like I said, that has been, you know, and just like the pineal gland, which the pineal gland is a connection to source. It helps you to see things more clearly. Again, you know, if we're just being subdued and, you know, made to just accept all these things that, because I know everybody sees all this stuff. I think they just, like you said, they just talk themselves out of it. Either they don't believe it, or they just, you know, put their head in the sand. And I think courage and, again, understanding our makeup and who we are could help people be a little more stronger. But all of this stuff they pile on us, you know, like I said, with the chemicals and the, you know, the distractions and just everything, it pushes us down further. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you have a choice. You can, you know, you can.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they get the whoever's doing this. That's how they get out of it. They say, well, you know, you consent to it. You are agreeing with it. So, you know, we have no, you know, they don't feel like they're responsible. So they, you know, there's no.
Yeah. And that's it. It's a level of responsibility, and like, we have to take our own like responsibility ourselves for ourselves as well. Can't be taking it for everyone else. Yeah, and you know, it's just the way it is.
The accountability is, you know, not on our side, you know, if you're you're constantly pummeled with it. But, you know, like I said, yeah, I see both sides. You know, I think it's unfair when, you know, but, you know, what's fair? Who decides what's fair? So anyway, like I said, another show we probably can, you know,
talk into that. And then, you know, that's interesting that we have, you know, that other organ. Because it would be interesting when you think about the fact that we have gut instinct and we, you know, most people can pick up and follow their gut sort of thing. But it's like, what if you don't have that? Why is that?
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Well, like you said,
and we're about to wrap up our coast to coast.
I think the good news is that people are being, you know, made aware of this. And of course, they're trying to do something about it to alleviate and hopefully, again, I think a lot of it starts with us just knowing about this stuff. You know, if we hear about it and we think about it and really take it on board and see how powerful we really are, it really makes you feel more empowered and hopeful about, you know, trying
about things in general. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we can bang on about so much stuff, but I think that's what we talk about, looking after ourselves and health and, like, you know, just in our environment itself, because I think that's where it needs to start. So, got to have a starting
remember
point.
Remember who, you know, we are.
Yes, remember who we are on Coast to Coast. Beachy's got another show coming up soon, which is good. And, you know what? We'll keep our eyes open for those space jellyfish and whatever else is happening in the skies. Like I said, there's so many distractions going on at the moment. Look, there's a lot of things.
Or looking inward, it's I think there's lots of information on both those.
Yeah. But all I can say is, like, seriously, like, if you feel something's not right and you don't want to go there, don't go there. Just, you know, you yourself, everyone's aware of what they're capable of and what they want to do and what they don't want to do. So just don't get overloaded. And always remember there's an off button, so you can just switch it off and don't worry about it. Yes. On that note, I'm going to switch out.
Okay. We're going to switch off that button.
And then we'll enjoy the rest of our evening for BG, afternoon for me. It looks like we're going to have an earlier, I think I'm going to have a sunset in about another hour and a half, I think there's going to be. Oh, wow. Yeah,
you are on the other side. Yes, we're in summer, you're in winter, and
yeah, but we're still enjoying a nice warm weather here. It's not really winter, which is a bit weird. Yeah, but anyway, okay. Weird in this world? Until next time, what in the weird on Coast to Coast?
We're on. All right,
thanks for listening, everybody, and we will catch you next time round on truthmeets.com. Don't forget we have other shows. Now that Truth Meets is back up, you can check all our shows on our website or on podcasts or whatever.
Yeah. I have to do another Remember Who You Are show too soon.
Soon. That's it. All right, guys. Until next time around, enjoy it. Day, night.
Night.
And we'll catch you next time around.
Good morning, wherever you are.
See you later.
All right, guys. See ya.
Bye. Ground control.
Central to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
10.
Ground control
9,
to Major Tom.
8. 7. 6.
Commencing
5,
countdown, engines on.
You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through the door, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way. Stars look